This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. My name is James, and today you're tuned in to hear this special in-depth reviewing commentary on the life and musical career of the former Portland artist, Elliott Smith. In this upcoming deep dive, we will dive into a few things such as his childhood, his relationship with music, his rise to fame, and his untimely death. So stay tuned for more as we explore the life of Elliott Smith. Smith, while widely being acknowledged as one of the most recognizable Portland artists, was not initially from Portland. Smith was born in Omaha, Nebraska, so that's where we'll start. Born as Stephen Paul Smith, the life of Elliott Smith started in Omaha, Nebraska on August 6, 1969. And at only 6 months old, his parents would divorce and he would live with his mother in Texas. It was in Texas that at 10 years old, Elliott would learn to play the guitar. Elliott would find inspiration from a young age from artists such as Simon and Garfunkel, Bob Dylan, David Bowie, and last but not least, Nick Drake, whom, if you listened to his music before, you can definitely hear the influence from the soft chords played and a lot of the acoustic melodies that Elliott Smith gets into in his music. Although it was at this young age that Elliott Smith would also be playing piano, which he was actually quite good at, and would compose his own song and perform it during a small arts festival in which he won a prize at. But at the age of 14, Smith would leave his home in Texas with his mother to come live in Portland, Oregon with his father due to the work that his father did. Smith would attend Lincoln High School, and it was here that Elliott would begin his rocky relationship with drugs and alcohol. Although it was in high school, while playing the clarinet for his school band, that he would meet someone who would be very important later on in his life, that person being Tony Lash, who would play the flute with him in the school band. Now you might be wondering, if his name was Stephen, then how did he acquire the name Elliott? This to me is actually quite a funny story, as he decided that the name Steve kind of sounded a little bit too much of a jock name, and the name Stephen was a little too bookish for him. Now, it's not entirely known where he got the name Elliott from, but it's speculated that he actually got this from the street Elliott Avenue that he used to live in Portland. Or possibly that his girlfriend at the time had recommended the name, and he liked it so much that he kept it. In 1991, when Elliott was attending Hampshire College, he would become associated with Neil Gust, a fellow peer attending Hampshire College. The two would become close and form a small band together playing at clubs around their college and performing original songs. They would both eventually return to Portland after college and would form the band known as Heat Miser with Tony Lash, one of Elliott's old friends from high school as previously mentioned. And it was this, for many, that would mark the beginning of Elliott's musical career. Both Neil and Elliott would do vocals for Heat Miser, although Neil and Elliott had very different styles of lyricism for their respective songs that they would sing. And in the band's early beginnings, Heat Miser was in look for a bassist. They would find their bassist in Brant Peterson, although he would not be a member of Heat Miser for too long. Heat Miser, at its very early conception, would play at a few clubs and a couple bars and a few cafes, so nothing too big or drastic for the band. Eventually, they'd start recording their albums and releasing them. Heat Miser would release three albums in total: Dead Air, which released in 1993, Speeder in 1994, and the band's most recognizable album, Mike City Sons, releasing in 1996, with some recognizable songs being Plainclothes Man and Get Lucky. Now, an interesting fact is that while they were making Mike City Sons, which would be their most popular album, they actually had a bit of a lineup change where Peterson would leave the band, leaving them with an open spot for a bassist. The reason being that Peterson would clash with the members too often, and they felt it was best if he left. With this spot now open, it would be taken by Sam Coombs, another friend of Elliot's from high school. Coombs would go on to create the band Quasi with his wife later on, which is a fantastic band, and I would definitely recommend giving them a listen if given the chance. But it was between the release of Dead Air and Mike City Sons that Elliot would release his first solo debut album, Roman Candle. Smith himself stated that he thought the record would not do well, but to his surprise, the album was incredibly well received in the local scene in Portland. Roman Candle, however, was for the most part entirely acoustic and was a far cry from the widely popular grunge music that was popular at that time. After the incredible success of Roman Candle, Smith would work on and release his second album, self-titled, in 1995, with some of its most notable tracks being Needle in the Hay, St. Ide's Heaven, and Christian Brothers. The album, at its core, was supposed to be similar to that of Roman Candle, but branches out into different techniques that Elliot would use on different tracks. His second album was released by Kill Rock Stars, a label that is most recognizable for releasing multiple albums with Smith. Although something that he saw about his self-titled album is that many people perceived him as a more dark and dreary musician, which wasn't very much to Elliot's liking. At this point, Elliot was really, for the most part, only recognized in the Portland music scene, but at his third album's release, Either Or, in 1997, Either Or, in 1997, with some notable songs being his most popular song, Between the Bars, along with other songs such as Alameda and Angelus, things picked up for the now 28-year-old Smith. It was in this year that the director Gus Van Sant reached out to Elliot to get his music into his movie Good Will Hunting. It was also in this movie where Elliot made what would become a very important song to his career, Miss Misery. When Good Will Hunting came out, Elliot was nominated for an Academy Award due to how well received his soundtrack was. Elliot was asked to go up and reluctantly play Miss Misery for an estimated 87 million people. And although Miss Misery would not win the Academy Award, it would throw Elliot into the limelight for the next few years. And while this did wonders for his musical career, fame was never something Elliot sought after. Afterwards, he expressed that living a life of fame is something that he wouldn't really want to do. To the knowledge of very few, it was during the release of Either Or that Elliot's relationship with alcohol would fall into a very unhealthy pairing with antidepressants. And after the Academy Awards, Elliot would fall into a deep depression. This had been attributed to his substance and alcohol abuse, but shortly after the Academy Awards and the release of Either Or, on August 25th, 1998, Elliot would release EXO, an album that he produced with DreamWorks Records. The album was 14 songs long, and along with Either Or, is considered widely to be one of Elliot's best albums, with some of the songs including Miss Misery, Waltz 2, and Sweet Adeline. Although Miss Misery can only be found on the expanded version of this album. Unfortunately, the depression that Elliot felt would only grow worse in the coming 2 years. Elliot felt many negative emotions, and while this was all happening, Elliot would make his final album, Figure 8, released in 2000 with songs on it such as Son of Sam, Everything Means Nothing to Me, and Happiness. This would be Elliot's final album published while he was living. After Figure 8 was released to relatively positive feedback, it would be only 3 years later that he would pass away in Los Angeles, California. The circumstances and nature of his tragic passing would be ruled in him taking his own life, although many have been led to their own speculations. As for me personally, I choose to believe the initial ruling of his death. It was between the time of recording what would be his posthumous album, Basement on the Hill, that Smith would begin to display signs of extreme paranoia. Some of these signs being that he thought a white van would follow him wherever he went, and he would have friends drop him off a mile or even miles away from his recording studio when he went in to record new music. And it was also during this time that he would begin to eat very poorly, if at all. Smith would not eat for days, and then when he did, he would only eat ice cream, which in turn was incredibly unhealthy for him, not only physically, but mentally. He also believed that his record label, DreamWorks, was out to get him and steal his music. Although Elliot's passing was incredibly tragic for his fans, friends, and family, the rights to his work would be given to his family, and through his family and producer Rob Schnapf, his final album would be released, Basement on the Hill. It was released October 18th, 2004, and had many songs that Elliott himself had been working on for years prior, such as King's Crossing. Although it contained other notable songs such as Memory Lane, Shooting Star, and Twilight. Now that will conclude all that has to be said about Elliott's life. Although, if you were out there wondering how to get started listening to his music, I have a few recommendations for you. In my opinion, a nice, easy album to get into is EXO. It is all around very inviting and has a lot of fantastic range that I'm sure you'll find at least one song to connect to. Although if you'd like to jump straight into the bulk of his chords and mostly acoustic-oriented pieces, then a good place to start would be his self-titled album. Now, if you were looking to take things a little bit slower and maybe just start with a few songs, I have a couple favorites that you may love. Although, for being totally honest, it's pretty hard for me to choose as I love all of his songs and his entire discography to me is all so perfect that I can't really choose all so well. But if I were to suggest any songs, then I would say listen to Happiness off of Figure 8. This song especially is very personal to me, although I think it's a song that anyone can connect with. Although for me personally, it imbues me with the feeling of change and the excitement and content that comes with it. It has a very powerful impact on me, and it is one that I wholeheartedly recommend. Another song that I would love to recommend is Bled White off of EXO. Now, this one I think is one that almost anyone can enjoy, especially for any astute local Portland listeners out there. If you go and listen to the first lyric of Bled White, you can in fact hear him reference our very own Rose City. This song is upbeat and puts you in a great mood no matter what day, no matter what the circumstances. The beat and groove is so easy to get into, it's fun, short, and engaging. What's not to love? But if you were looking for something more, to listen to when you might be a little upset, then what other song to recommend than the classic of Waltz 2? Waltz 2 off of EXO has everything. The vocals comfort you with his almost hollow voice that lures you in, and the power and force from the drums and the precision of each chord will shake you to the bone and stay with you forever. But if maybe you're looking for something a little more comforting than that, then Angelus is what's right for you. It takes all of the beloved aspects of his music, such as his soft and soothing voice and his incredible chords, and puts them all into one song. This song is all acoustic and is very powerful as it speaks as a piece that Elliott put much emotion to, and it shows quite a bit in his performance. But those are just a few of my suggestions, and I know that there's a whole lot more of his music out there that you'll find, and you'll find at least one song that you'll just love. To finally conclude, the impact of Elliott's music can be felt everywhere in the music scene today, as many artists have drawn inspiration from our very own local musician. The complex blend of the emotional piece he draws into each song, mixed with each chord, speaks to many of his listeners in ways to keep them listening years after his passing, still absolutely loving his music and still loving each chord he plays. It was a great pleasure being able to share my love and appreciation for this Portland artist, and I hope that maybe some of you listeners out there will check his music out in the future. Thank you for listening. Keep on rocking on. This has been James with KBPS, and I hope you all have a great day. I tell my friends, I'm feeling like you're coming, cause I feel the sun. I keep waiting for you to call. I'm thinking that I'm gonna need a miracle. Wasted again. I tell my friends, I'm feeling like you're coming, cause I feel the sun. I'm waiting for. Hey everyone, my name is James and welcome. For this episode, I think what I'd like to talk about is some of my favorite black artists in history. And today specifically, I'm going to be talking about someone who many of you who listen to rock have probably heard of before. I'm going to be talking about Jimi Hendrix and one of my favorite albums by him. So the album that I'm going to be talking about and playing some songs from is Are You Experienced? So this album is 56-ish years old now. It was released 1967. It was one of his, in my personal opinion, best albums. And one of my favorite songs on that album is a song called Can You See Me? So I'm going to play that song for you right now. Ooh, Okay, and once again, that was Can You See Me by Jimi Hendrix, and I think one of the reasons why that song appeals to me so much is just the way that a lot of the riffs that he uses, and the way that he plays his guitar is very, to me, it's very profound, and I really love the start of the song. It really just, it hooks you, right? It just kind of pulls you in with that really strong start, and it's strong all the way from start to finish. He just keeps going, and it keeps you hooked all the way through, and that's why I love Jimi Hendrix as an artist. He manages to just kind of always reel you in with these incredible and like just super wonderful riffs that just manage to keep you hooked throughout the entire song. And another song where I think he really demonstrates this is his song Red House. So I'm going to play that song for you really quick, and you guys can let me know what you think about it.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Red House by Jimi Hendrix. And I think one of the reasons why I love that song is in comparison to Can You See Me, I think that that has a more, I guess, mellow, I don't know if that's quite the word to describe it, but I guess that's the word that I'll stick by, like a more mellow tune in comparison. And I really like it quite a bit. I think he has a really broad, I guess, spread of music and the way that he plays the guitar. It can be very fast and upbeat, and the pace can be just like really fast and in your face, or it can be like very laid back and mellow, and you can really just enjoy it and soak it all in. And just a couple little facts about Jimi Hendrix. He's considered one of the greatest electric guitarists that has ever lived. And I think that alone is probably one of the most impressive achievements that you can, as a musician, that you can get. And another really interesting little known fact about Jimi Hendrix is that he actually didn't know how to read music. He was completely self-taught, and I feel that maybe nowadays, maybe I'm wrong on this, but that is fairly uncommon. I believe that most artists nowadays would know how to read music, and it's quite impressive that he was completely self-taught. And I feel like this, in some ways, adds a lot of authenticity to his music, and it makes it so much more interesting for him. And since he knew how to play by ear, I think that allowed him to incorporate just a lot of other elements from other artists' music and just be able to play with that. And that kind of incorporation of other elements gave him his unique tone, and it's probably one of the reasons why he's still considered one of the greatest electric guitarists of all time. And now next up we have my final song. It is titled Fire, and it is also all off the same album, Are You Experienced? So next up, here is Fire. And once again, that was Fire, and I believe that's my last song for the day. I hope you really enjoyed all of the music that I've shared with you today, and I hope you really enjoyed the Jimi Hendrix. Hopefully, if you haven't heard of him, maybe now you'll listen to him a little more, and you can appreciate him in the same way that I do. And if you already have heard of him and you already listened to him, I hope you enjoyed the couple songs from the album that I picked out, some of my personal favorites. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
Greetings from the KBPS studio. It's Joe with the KBPS playlist, where a different student each week shares some of the music they are listening to right now. First up, it's Hey Little Girl by Ice House.
Talk is all over town.
was Hey Little Girl by Ice House. Next up, Technological World by Patrick Cowley.
Thank you.
That was Technological World by Patrick Cowley. I tend to love songs that are more synth-ish covers of 50s, 60s, 70s songs. They just tend to work really, really well, and I've featured some of those before. Up next, Modern Rocketry's I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. That was I'm Not Your Stepping Stone by Modern Rocketry. Thank you for listening to the KBPS playlist, and thank you for listening to KBPS PRP. Wasted again, I tell my friends, I'm feeling like you're coming cause I feel the sun. I'm waiting for the special touch you give.
My name is
Joe Anderson. I'm the KVPS Chief of Staff. And for those of you who may have been longtime listeners of me, you may also know that I work with my co-worker, Hikama, as being the Benson High School Student Body President. But today we have my sort of, but not really, boss on air with me today. If I was the governor of Oregon, she'd be the president of the United States. Please welcome Byronie McMahon, the student representative to the Portland Public Schools Board of Education. What is it? 50,000 students district-wide to KVPS. Thank you so much for being on air with me today, Byronie.
Hi. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for inviting me. I'm really excited today.
Oh, sure thing. So let's just start with you. Tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Wow, deep question off the bat. Well, my name's Byronie McMahon. I'm a senior at Cleveland High School. And as Joe said before, I serve as the student representative to the PPS Board of Education. There's currently only one student on the Board of Education, and I help to, yes, it's more like 48,000 students, but I help to represent those voices in district ongoings, policy decisions, and just the overall vision and how the board decides what we're going to do and what action we're going to take. And so it was really important to come out and visit students, and I'm so excited to be reaching students on air.
Well, thanks so much, Byronie. Now, we just heard a bit about, you know, your role as the district student rep. Can you tell us, you've been at your job for, what, half a year now or so?
Yeah, a little over a semester now.
Could you tell us about what you've done so far in your position?
Of course. So it's been really exciting, and I also got to serve a little bit over the summer. And a really important thing for me was being able to meet and visit with students. And so at this point, I've gotten to visit a lot of schools. During the summer, I also visited a lot of our summer programs, which we spent a very large amount of money in investing in. And it was great and has been great to meet students, speak with students, and see students. We also have been able to work through the student summit and do all the planning for that, which we'll talk about a little later. And I definitely encourage anyone that's listening or will listen to attend. And I think the biggest thing for me as well has been just working with the board, going to meetings and making sure that student voices are being heard. We have work sessions as a school board where we talk about the important issues like student safety and budget and teachers and how we kind of juggle all of these really important aspects of a public education system. And so it's been a real privilege this year to be able to serve on the school board, going to school board meetings, attending work sessions, going to events with legislatures. And I think really the biggest thing that I've certainly worked to do is just make sure that I'm attending as much as I can, meeting as many people as I can, and making sure that student voice doesn't get lost, because all too many times it does.
So as we talk about that student voice, can you speak a bit more on the importance of student representation and what structures we can have in our institutions to ensure that type of representation?
Yeah, I think that so many times people forget that, oddly enough, that public education is really to serve students. And sometimes even more, we forget to even ask students about the issues that they're most concerned about. And I think the importance of student voice is because for so many of the people that are making decisions, whether that's at the district level, whether that's at the state level, they're adults who have probably not been in a public high school or public school classroom, period, maybe picking up their children, but certainly not as a student in maybe 20 years. And so understanding, like, how do these decisions affect students on the ground? And it's just a perspective that they don't really know and they can't really understand because they just don't have that experience, or they don't have the proximity to the experience. And ultimately, these student issues and things that affect students, it's my opinion that students should have the biggest voice in those decisions. And I think, what can we do and how can we use those structures? Joe, I think you're a great example. We can go on air. We can join our ASBs, and there's so many also nonprofits, such as like Oregon Student Voice, that do a great job of really promoting that student voice to these higher up institutions. And I also think taking advantage of the students that you know. Just before this, we were talking to the radio teacher here at Benson, and you should go to the leaders that are in your community, and you should go to the students that you know hold positions, and that can help you to solve the problems or connect you with the right people. And so I think it's all about remembering that students are a really strong community of people, and that we should really lean on one another when trying to make big changes.
Byronie, you are only one person, and we haven't told our listeners yet, but you also head up the District Student Council. Can you tell us about that organization?
Yeah, so the District Student Council is made up of one student from every PPS high school and alternative program. And as you said, I'm one person, but I'm backed up by this great group of people, seniors, sophomores, juniors, and we all work together to help promote student voice in the district. And we do that by every district student representative serving on one of the board committees, whether that be policy, audit, unfortunately, for the students that are inclined. There's a bunch of different ones, but students really help in that way on the DSC to really ensure that when we're making decisions, there's always a student present, and there's a student that can really help to explain how the decisions that the board makes are going to affect students.
I remember those district committees. My few months on budget review were the most thrilling of my life.
Yes.
Could you tell us a bit more about the accomplishments in past years or right now of the District Student Council?
Of course. I mean, we have had such a privilege over time to have such a great number of students who have really worked to make things better. Jackson Weinberg last year was my predecessor, and he worked on the climate change response policy and worked really hard to get the passage of that, which, for those of you who don't know, is one of the most comprehensive climate change response policies put forward by a public school district in really in the United States. And so it's been a really great thing to be setting the tone for the rest of the country in terms of how do we respond to climate change. And I think it's something we're really proud of both as a DSC and also as a legacy of student representatives. And then this year, I'm actually working on a task force with Jonathan Garcia and Guadalupe Guerrero, our superintendent and our chief of staffs, on student safety. I'm sure a lot of you know that Cleveland High School, my school, experienced a shooting not so long ago. Franklin also, though after school hours, gratefully. And Jefferson as well has experienced a lot. And with this uptick in student safety issues, there really needs to be a response. And so this year especially, we've held sessions with students. The Student Summit will have a session all about it, which we'll get more to later. But for me, I think that's been one of the biggest things that I'm proud of, is just the dedication that I've seen from the district and from the DSC in terms of how do we address this giant issue that is now more prevalent than ever.
So earlier you spoke about students going to the leaders in their community, finding the students in the positions of power. Could you talk a bit more about how students with any concerns can possibly get those concerns up to the level of the district student council or get them to a place where they can be addressed?
Yeah, well, my email is publicly available on pbs.net, as well as my supervisor, Yensei Shao. I really recommend students reach out to us via email. I get emails all the time from parents, and I'm probably responding to at least 100 emails a day in terms of just trying to make sure people feel heard. But I don't really hear that much from students. And I think the biggest thing and the first thing you can do is reaching out to me via email. And then also, I know your ASB presidents, or I, the district student council representative, will know your ASB president. And so I really recommend that you can go to them as well with any concerns. But I like to think of myself as very accessible. So shoot me an email or give me a call. My information is available on our website.
And we can put that on the KBPS website too. We can make sure, along with the interview of this file, the file of this interview. For those of you just tuning in, we're listening to Byronie McMahon, the student representative to the Portland Public Schools Board of Education, right here on KBPS. Now, we've briefly touched on the student summit throughout this interview, and let's let the audience know. Tell us, what is the student summit? When is it? Where is it going to be?
So the Student Summit, I think, is the pride and joy of District Student Council every year, and it's an event that we spend lots of time on in our meetings, planning and creating. This year it's going to be held at OMSI on the 24th of February, so next Friday. There is a RSVP thing online, which I'll make sure to give Joe, and I'll make sure is widely available, which is also available on our Instagram, PPS Student Council, if you're interested. And basically what the summit is it's an opportunity for students to speak directly to decision makers. This year we're really lucky in that we have a session on legislative advocacy. And we're really lucky that actually state legislatures and local legislators have come and are actually going to be at the summit to speak directly to students. We'll have 3 board members there as well. So if you're interested in making change within the PBS community, you'll have time. We'll actually have like a town hall where you'll have time to speak directly to them. There'll obviously be members of the district student council, and so you'll get to meet and see who your representative is and how you can potentially get involved in future years if you're an underclassman, or how you can get involved in future. We're gonna have a lot of sessions, and for me, what was most important was being action orientated and or being a really good listening session so that our legislators, our central staff would be able to understand what students wanted. So I encourage everyone to go. Again, that's OMSI on February 24th. It's from 10 o'clock to 2. It is during a school day, but I think it's worth it. And obviously it's a district sponsored event. And also there will be transportation, it will be limited, but if you have any concerns or questions regarding the summit, please reach out. It's a great opportunity, and I mean really great, to really express the things that you need. As we move into budget session 2, it's really important that students understand that resources are very limited and that we're gonna be having to make trade-offs. And so we need to know, and we need your feedback in terms of what those should be. And then also, where do we focus our energy and time as a district? Is that on student safety? Is that on Title IX issues? Is that on RESJ? And we can do it all, we certainly can. But we need to understand what students' solutions and what solutions are gonna work best in terms of addressing the problems that need fixed in this district the most.
Well, thank you, Byrony. I've been to that summit before. It is very informative, and I'd say the food's pretty good. The food's
pretty
good.
Yeah, it's catered, there'll be free food. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Who doesn't want that? You know, you get to miss some school, learn some stuff, and get like free breakfast and lunch. Like, sounds like a pretty sweet deal to me. Well, we'll have that information available for all of you on the KBPS website, kbps.am. Thank you so much for tuning in for this special interview with Byrony McMahon, the student representative for the Board of Education for Oregon's largest school district. And let me just tell you that you can listen to all the board meetings of the Portland Public Schools Board of Education right here on KBPS. The 7-member board is responsible for the budget and policy decisions of Oregon's largest school district. You can listen to them on our AM signal or kbps.am. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm frantically flipping through my cue cards to find out when our next board meeting is. Looks like it is Tuesday, March 7th at 6 p.m. Tune in on KBPS for that if you want to hear it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have the full audio of this interview available on our website, kbps.am. Byrony, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Any last questions? Any last things you want to say to our community?
Please email me. I love to hear from students. And if you're ever interested in meeting me, I am always around. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.